let's think back to yesterday's text. Can we recall the book of the New Testament from which Prof. Ryan addressed us in regard to our being a part of God's family? That was the book of Ephesians, in which there are some rather colorful descriptions about how we are God's family, including the idea that we are body parts joined together with Jesus as the head, comprising the body of Christ. Talk about unity with God. You can't get any closer than that. Now, in Ephesians 4, we are reminded of the need for the body of Christ to grow and to stay safe, not by social distancing or wearing a mask. It's something else that we hear in chapter 4 when Paul writes, verses 14 and 15, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. During your time here, especially when you're in high school, you are somewhat sheltered from the ungodly world. As faculty and staff, we work on behalf of your parents to keep the strong winds of false teaching and the other stormy lies of Satan at bay as best we can. In the classroom, for instance, we are going to filter out evolution, secular humanism, moral liberalism, and these misleading worldviews that might not have a name, but are rather popular in modern society. Likewise, we filter out religious falsehood, decision theology, millennialism, unionism, and if you don't know what those terms mean, you will get to find out in one of your religion classes, especially the biblical reason to reject each one of them. While you are developing in your Christian maturity, we work together to keep the strong winds of false teaching and the stormy lies of Satan outside. Outside of what we teach and preach, what we say and do in his name, Emmanuel. Well, Ephesians 4 brings up a problem, though, that by nature, at least, we are children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's quite a picture. The apostle compares the immature believer, regardless of age, to a ship adrift at sea during a storm. Right now, though, you students strike me more like ships tied to a dock in a harbor. And if I may stretch this analogy a little bit, we faculty would be the dock workers who load you up with food, water, and a good map for the voyage. When wind and waves rise up, you do have the harbor of God's truth as a refuge, keeping you safe. You don't have to be adrift in that storm. Perhaps the analogy has gone a bit far, but we still have that main point. We all need Christian maturity, spiritual growth in Christ as the safe way to deal with this ungodly world and its ruler Satan, and his many tricks, traps, stormy lies that blow us off course. At least they're designed to do that. If we stay in the state of spiritual immaturity, we become like gullible little kids who fall for just about anything. So when the temptations come, part of us likes what is offered. When people sound off on their moral philosophy of life, we think there's something to it. The same goes for the expert and his brand new findings, which have traction in the world but are contrary to Scripture. Make no mistake, we are very vulnerable if we stay in the state of spiritual immaturity. But it doesn't have to be that way. Thankfully, as part of his safekeeping plan, Jesus has the right countermeasure. Paul calls it speaking the truth in love. And there's a sequence involved. Top down, first he speaks and teaches his truth to us, and then he leads you and me to speak the same truth to each other. And as I said to you in class today, it's the truth of law and gospel in that order. We use that twofold truth to handle the problem of our own sin, to recover from the fall into temptation, and get back to the safe space of God's forgiveness in Christ, and regain assurance from Him in those nagging times of doubt and fear. It's also having the truth of all the Bible doctrines, which we use to recognize and repel all the lies that come our way. When speaking this truth in love, let's understand how the love flows. It's not our love for each other, not even our love for God, but primarily His love flowing down to us. In great love for you and me, Jesus bought us and brought us into His body, where He continues to lead us to grow as part of His body. He trains you and me to help each other, to counsel and encourage each other as fellow members of His body. On that love, you depend until He brings you to the state of fully mature, all grown up in Christ. I think we all can sense that we're not there yet. In fact, it's going to be that ultimate future time when He brings all of His people, His body, to a calm harbor of heavenly perfection where wind and wave, not there. Where devil, world, temptation, sin, death, and the like will bother us no more. Until then, we pray. Dear Savior, cause us all to grow as fellow members of Your body, anchored always on the truth of Your word, and woven together by the power of Your steadfast love. Amen. There will be an announcement after chapel. We close today singing four stanzas of hymn 292, stanzas 1, 2, 8, and 9, the first two and the last two of hymn 292.